All right. We're going to take a little bit of time just to jump back into our study in the Psalms. So if you are normally upstairs with us on Sunday nights, we have been doing just a methodical working through the Psalms and enjoying some study there. And so we're going to be in Psalm 42 tonight. And it's an interesting psalm. It's a psalm that speaks about when discouragement, or why are you cast down, O my soul? The question of what to do when the blues hit, right? And so how do we handle that? Everybody remember who B.B. King was? B.B. King was the king of the blues. For decades, was known for his blues singing. His actual name was Riley B. King. B.B. King was a nickname that actually meant B.B. stood it originally. His stage name originally was Blues Boy King, and it didn't stick real well, and so they went to B.B. King. And for decades, he started singing, and I think it started in 1956, and sang for decades and decades. And he was doing like 250 concerts a year for decades. Put all kinds of songs out. He'd play guitar and sing. And songs like 3 o'clock Blues, How Blue Can You Get, The Thrill Is Gone. And I was thinking about this, like, what a depressing career, right? Like, your whole job is to sing sad, depressing songs. And you do night after night, concert after concert, you sing the blues. I just think that would be a hard career. But that was him. He was the king of the blues. And the reality is, though, as we think about that, as he did that for six decades, he passed away in 2015. The reality is that discouragement and the blues can hit all of us. And there are different times and seasons in our lives when we go through that. And it's interesting, as you read through the Psalms, many of the Psalms actually deal with that and discuss the discouragement. Or we might use it as depression, and we'll kind of classify that in different ways here. And in fact, this month it's fitting that we're at Psalm 42 in January, because January is often seen as the blues month. In fact, the third Monday in January is called Blue Monday. And the reason they call it that is because it's usually by the third Monday of the year that you no longer are keeping your New Year's resolutions. That has already dropped by the wayside. Your credit card bill from your December payments has come due, and you realize that I don't have the money that I thought I had, and it's still cold outside, and it's dreary, and you're just like, what is going on? And it's like this compilation of all these things going on, and so that's called Blue Monday. And maybe that's hit for you. Maybe you've gone through and you're like, man, I spent a little bit too much in December. Or you're maybe hitting some health issues, and that's coming along, and it's cold, it's dark, it's snowy. You're sliding around, and maybe you feel tonight going to this, man, I just feel a little discouraged. Well, take heart. Psalm 42 is for you, and we want to deal with that. It's a very practical, realistic psalm that deals with this and that can affect us. And in fact, he says here two times in the psalm, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? He says it in verse 5. He says it in verse 11, like, he's battling with it. And that's what I love about the Psalms. So practical, so real. You get a chance to kind of hear the heartbeat of different men and women of God, or men of God as they would pen these down. And as they were going through the throes of life in different stages, and they walk it through in a poem, in a song, and share that for others to kind of take with them and to learn from. And so that's where we're going to be at tonight. Let me just say some introductory comments about this psalm to help us with it. And we see some things by the inscription. It tells us this is to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. But you also notice above that, you'll see it says book 2, Psalms 42 to 72. See, the Psalms actually break into five different songbooks, five different segments. And this begins the second of the song books, the second section that was organized by the Jews. The Psalms in the Hebrew Scriptures are actually divided in these five books. You have 1 through 41, 42 to 72, 73 to 89, 90 to 106, and 107 to 150. And each of them, interestingly, ends with doxology. Look at chapter 41 right before this. The final words in verse 13, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen." And so each of these song sections finishes with a doxology, with the greatest of them being Psalm 150, which is pure doxology. Praise you, the Lord. It's mentioned 11 different times in Psalm 150 to praise him on the cymbal and in dance and in all these different instruments. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so each of these is focused, bringing our hearts to, as we go through the different sections, bringing us back to praise. And we're going to see that even in this psalm. Even as he asks the question, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquiet within me? He's going to bring it back to praise. And we're going to see that tonight. And second of all, we have the inscription here, to the chief musician. And so we ask the question, well, who is that? And it really begs the question, well, who's the master of music? And so some debate and say, well, maybe this is to the chief choir director in Israel, or the one who's heading that. But I believe this is actually to the chief musician, which is God himself, the one who invented and created music and is the author of music. He is the chief musician. This is ultimately to be praise to him. As John Piper stated, he said, "Poetry and singing exist because God made us with emotions, not just thoughts." Isn't that interesting? God made you emotional beings. God made us emotional beings, and that's good. Aren't you glad that everybody's walked through life like just thought, and that's all we have, and there's no emotion to it? I could preach that way. Turn in your Bibles, Psalm 42. We're emotional beings. There's things that excite us. There's things when I'm preaching, I'm like, woohoo, let's hit it. There's things in life that are discouraging, and we go through those. And God made us that way, he says our emotions are massively important. And so God is the author of that. It also says this is a contemplation, or the word there in the Hebrew is a maskil. This is a contemplation. This is something for us to ponder over. And we see that several times in several of the Psalms. It'll begin with that introduction. Like you're going to need time to kind of meditate on this. This is a contemplation that the author had, and you're going to need time to contemplate this as well, to think this through as well. And this is also given out to the sons of Korah. We don't have time to detail a lot about them. These were the ones, though, that were established along with the Levites for the leading of worship. And so these were part of David's when he established chief or musicians to lead the choirs and lead different aspects. These leaders were the sons of Korah, the Kohathites. And so let's just read a portion of this, and then we'll kind of walk it through. Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim a feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I'll remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Father, would you give us insight and understanding to understand how we are these emotional beings, and at times some of those emotions are discouragement. They're being cast down. But help us to have understanding about how do we deal with that? How do we get our focus right? How do we emphasize where our trust and our encouragement is found? And so tonight, would you use this psalm and this little bit of study together as an encouragement to those who might be facing that blue Monday, who might be facing the downs right now? And I pray that you would use this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, just a couple thoughts tonight, and there's B.B. King. I did put a picture of him. There you go. Couple thoughts, and the first thing is I wanted to emphasize the commonness of depression, and maybe depression is maybe too harsh a word there. Maybe it'd be the commonness of discouragement or disheartenedness, and it is a reality that this is so what I'm trying to emphasize here is, as we're going to see, there are numerous godly individuals in Scripture that dealt with it. Even the psalmist here is questioning it. It does not make you a second-rate Christian or a fallen Christian because at times in your emotionalness, as God created us, that you're disheartened, you're discouraged. There's a commonness to this. In fact, 48 out of the 150 psalms deal with the sorrow of the heart. They deal with discouragement. And so this is not uncommon or overlooked theme in this issues of Scriptures. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones has an excellent book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Its Cures. He states, the Scriptures do grant clearly by their teaching that it is possible for a Christian to be depressed. Not that they justify this, but they do recognize the fact. And we see it is not just people that are emotionally or intellectually weak that face it. Abraham Lincoln, one of our great presidents, struggled with it immensely. They had to hide all the cutlery in the home at different times for a fear of what he might do. And not only leaders in our country and brilliant minds like that, but even godly men. I think of Martin Luther, same thing. I think of even Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was very vocal about these sometimes the dark seasons that he would go through in his spiritual walk. And here's a preacher of probably one of the most influential churches of that day, one of the most influential preachers in all of modern history. And in the midst of that, he would face dark times. And so there is a commonness to that. Now, I want to recognize as well, as I mentioned, that I think maybe depression, and there's, again, I think that's tied to this, but there's also the reality of this sorrow or grief that can be different than also depression. We do go through times of sorrow. We do go through times of maybe grief after a situation, and there is that reality of that. And there's all different causes, various causes, for which we see in Scripture, of different reasons that some individuals went through the discouraging times. I think of Moses. Moses, who was strung out just because of the overload of, I can't handle all this people. All the problems that are coming, I can't handle this. And he was overwhelmed, and at times he takes it to the Lord and he's like, God, I can't do this. And even his father-in-law, Jephthah, steps in and says, listen, what you're trying to bear is not right for you to bear alone. You need to share this with other leaders and with other godly men. You need to also take this to the Lord and have the Lord be your strength. And so sometimes the cause is we've got too much on our plate. How many of you at times think and recognize, man, I've overloaded myself. And I've become so discouraged because I'm not doing things well because I'm just overloaded. Sometimes that's because we put things on our plate that God did not intend to have on our plate. And we've got to prioritize. We've got to put some things off. The simple two-letter word, no, is an important two-letter word. No, I can't help you right now. No, I can't do that. I would love to help you. Can we do it another time? Or, you don't have to be the one that does every job. Sometimes the cause for it is, like with that, if we see of Elijah. I'm always amazed by this in 1 Kings 19. After he's just come through chapter 18 of an incredible victory up on Mount Carmel, conquered the prophets of Baal by demonstrating God's power and authority. And then as he had proclaimed a famine on the land, that it would not rain in the land, and then he sees the rain coming then after this seven-year famine had hit, and then all of a sudden he runs down the mountainside, outrunning the chariots. And he runs and flees because now Jezebel says, I'm going to take out Elijah. His head will not stand on him. And Elijah flees to the wilderness and he says, oh God, I'm done. God, I quit. Take my life. It's better for me to die. He literally asks to die. And God says, no, you just need to lay down and sleep. Take a rest. And when you wake up, I'm going to feed you. And he brings food to Elijah and says, eat and drink and go back to sleep. Like, you are a grumpy bear. Like, you just got to get your perspective back on. And sometimes what we need is a nap, right? How many of you have seen that in your spouse before, right? Like they just need a nap right now. And how many of you have seen it in yourself? Like, I know I'm just frustrated. I've told this story before. The first time I ever went to Israel, I went and did kind of a survey trip before we were going to lead some groups, and had not really experienced before the jet lag situations and didn't understand that. And my plan was we were going to fly back in Wednesday afternoon, and I'd be good to lead Wednesday evening services with the teenagers. I was a youth pastor at the time. And so we flew back in. The problem was my clock had already changed over in my body, and it was 7 hours ahead. So by the time church service started at 7 o'clock at night, it's middle of the night in my body. Well, I was biting kids' heads off. Like, I was just frustrated with everybody. And I was like, I can't figure out what is wrong with me. And then I realized, like, I'm just tired. Like, I just need to go home. And so I learned from that. Don't schedule to come home on a Saturday and try to be expected to be ready to go for church. Like, I got to give a little bit of space because sometimes depression is caused, or that issues are caused because of being tired. And there's a variety. There sometimes even sin. David allowed sin in his life. It brought about great discouragement. He talks about even his bones were achy, and he just struggled. It caused immense pain to him when he didn't walk with God and he had rebelled and had unrepentant sin in his life. And then he prays in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I sinned against you, God. Restore that joy. That joy had been lost because of sin. And so, again, what we're demonstrating is there's a commonness, a variety of different causes that cause it, but that discouragement can be a variety of reasons. Second thing to recognize is there are countermeasures. And here's where Psalm 42 really shines. And I'm looking at the clock and recognizing we are already pushing on this. And so let's kind of walk through this. And what we're going to see is several things in here. Excuse me. First of one is in verses 1 through 4, where he admonishes us to relish or desire the Lord. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And there's this emphasis here of like this longing. And he emphasizes this idea of deer that are longing for the drink. And he uses this for the water brooks. And it tells us from verse 6 that there's an emphasis that this is being pictured from the east side of Israel in the upper north by Mount Hermon. And the cold springs that would be coming off of Mount Hermon, that the snow-capped mountain there, and the melt water. And he says, I need to long for that. I need to long for being with God and relish those times, just like that deer is like, oh, I need that cold drink. I need that. And so part of the remedy is to stir that up. To stir up that passion for the Lord. And with that comes like this desire for God. And there's a thread that runs through this that in this battle for the blues and throughout Scripture is to trust Him. Like, He's the one I need to get my eyes fixed back on. He's the one that is my source of joy. It's in His presence is fullness of what? Joy. And I trust Him then. He's good. His plans for me are good. Even though I might go through trials and I might go through difficult times, I'm going to trust Him. And so to desire Him. And so so there's that relish or desire the Lord in verses 1 through 4. And He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. And then it talks about even the importance of when he was in a place of joy, he was faithful in his fellowship with the saints, even in the house of God. And I was thinking about this today, the importance of the gathering of the saints. And I want to say something, and I recognize tonight is a snowy night. A lot of you are tuning in online, and there's perfectly good cause for that tonight. But I want to admonish the church that we've got to be cautious to not make that too easy, to not make that too habitual, because it is for our good that we gather together and sing. We see it in the book of Hebrews there, that we need that admonishment together, that we encourage one another together. And there are some who have begun to use the online modes sometimes too casually. And there are some that's very justified and very important and needed, and we want to continue to do that. But I would caution you. The psalmist here is saying, I need to go back to when I poured out my God before these things, and I used to go with the multitude. Part of my journey was, part of my life was enveloped in with the multitude worshiping God, with the church, with the body worshiping God, and that's what I need, because without that, it leads to discouragement. He says, I need to go back to that. I need to relish that. That's my little side rant, and I do think that's an important thing for us to recognize. Next thing he mentions in verse 5 and in verse 11 is we need to redirect our thoughts. He says there to hope in God. He asks the question, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquiet within me? But then he says, hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. And we see it a little bit later on, that same exact thing in verse 11. And he calls Him the help of His countenance. God is the help of His countenance. So we need to redirect our thoughts from our focus being on our circumstances and all the dread and the dreary things around us to who is our God. He's asking the question, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you discouraged? He says, I need to focus on Him. We can sometimes have our focus being only on the negative, this is going bad, and this health situation, this financial crisis. He says, wait a minute, I need to recognize that God is in control of my life. And He loves me. And He's good. I like the way Martin Lloyd-Jones, again, and I'm referencing that same book that I mentioned earlier, he says this. He said, have you ever realized the most important, or the most, that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Now, I know that sounds awful, like self-helpish today, but listen this out. Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You've not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who's talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment he's talking about in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He asks. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. My focus is going to be on God. And sometimes we just tell ourselves, we need to redirect our thoughts and redirect it that way. And so he preaches to himself, my hope is going to be in God. I will yet praise him. He is the help that he gives is the help of his countenance. And so we got to preach to ourselves. Spurgeon said this, I find myself frequently depressed, perhaps more so than any other person here, and I find no better cure for that depression than to trust in the Lord with all my heart and seek to realize afresh the power of the peace-speaking blood of Jesus and his infinite love in dying upon the cross to put away all my transgressions. Spurgeon said, what helped me more than anything was to preach the gospel to myself. To remind myself that God loved me that much, that he shed his blood for me. Like, that's how much I'm cared for. That's how much God loves me. Turn when you're struggling, turn back to Romans chapter 8. What shall we say then? Verse 31 of these things. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession. Who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then we know verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Like go back and read Romans 5, 31 to 39. Remind yourself, man, God loves me. Redirect your thoughts. And so again, we see this thread of trusting him. Quickly, just a couple more things. Then third of all, remember. Verses 6 through 8, he talks about, we need to remember who is our God. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls into deep, the noise of your waterfalls. God, you are powerful. The waterfalls, the deep, demonstrates your power. And I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember that you're in control of all this. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness. God, you're not only a God of power, but you're a God who is a God of loving kindness. In the daytime, in the night, and his song shall be with me. His presence. So I need to remember that. That God is in charge. He's powerful. God loves me, and he's with me. God didn't leave you in those dark times. He's present with you in the dark times. Isn't that what Psalm 23 tells us? Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right in the midst of those times, the psalmist recognizes it here. We're out of time, but fourth, then, is review your own spiritual condition, verses 9 and 10. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Because with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? He says, I'm going to evaluate. What am I listening to? What's my source of truth I'm trusting in? And then he goes back and finalizes this with, rejoice in the Lord, verse 11. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He's going to sing to the Lord. Sometimes it's a song of prayer and meditation, and then others it's a song of jubilation. Just a, okay, let me reframe my thoughts. Okay, God will restore that joy. I'm going to praise him. It's a rejoice in the Lord. And so sometimes one of the best things you can do in those blues times is don't sing B.B. King. Don't sing, what were the name of some of the songs that he gave us there? Don't sing 3 o'clock blues, right? That isn't going to help you. Sing some of the songs we just sang. My Jesus, I love thee. Love lifted me. Sing about God's love and rejoice in your God. There are times where discouragement hits. The Bible doesn't hide that, but it does clearly give us some answers to it, some directions to look, to focus on. The psalmist here is questioning, man, my soul's cast down, but I'm going to redirect my thoughts to hope in God. And I'm going to sing, I'm going to praise him. So I don't know where you're at in that today and what you're needing that for, but what a great truth for us to remind ourselves there is joy. We're going to have joy because God is in control. He's got a plan for us and he loves us. Well, let's close in prayer and we'll finish out the service. God, we are so thankful that we have you as our God, a God who tells it to snow when you want it to, a God that controls the power of the deep and the power of the waterfalls, and yet you're a God who is present with us in the dark valleys. And so yet, God, we can praise you. So, Father, I pray that you just help us to be encouraged by this, that we have a reason to rejoice. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? That nothing, we're persuaded that nothing shall separate us from that. And so, God, we want to thank you for that. I pray that you'd encourage us as we think and meditate that on that this week. That even if there is some reasons for discouragement, we take them to you. God, we would then gather together as the saints together, and whether it's in small groups or in Bible studies or back again next Sunday, to worship you, to glorify your name, and to encourage one another in it. Thank you for this time together tonight. I pray that you give safety to those who are traveling home. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.